I want to make sure you guys, particularly the young people, understand what it means to be a new creature. Do you guys understand what it means to be a new creature? It's really important that we understand this. Because if we do not understand what it means to be a new creature, then we're going to have a lot of problems that we don't need to have. Sometimes we'll try to strive in order to be right with God or do something that we feel God wants us to do or what have you. We'll strive. Do you understand what it means to strive? To just try and try and try in your own efforts. But often it ends up being very frustrating and exhausting. That's not what God has in mind. God has in mind that we do everything as who we actually are in Him. And who we are is a new creature. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, when a person is saved, they started out dead in trespasses and sins. God said to Adam, if you eat from this tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. Now, some people thought, and this is what Satan suggested to Eve, that that meant that they would die that day. But that's not what God was saying. Adam was not intended to die. But when he did go against God's prohibition and did eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and do you know why God didn't want him eating from that tree? Ezekiel 31:18 tells us that was Satan's tree. That wasn't one of God's trees. Not God's kind of tree. That was Satan's tree. Satan didn't tell Eve that. But that was Satan's tree, and it was a wicked tree, although it looked good. Not everything that looks good is good. I know you guys know that. Not everything that looks good is good. So God didn't want him eating from that tree because it was Satan's tree, and Satan is a killer. He brings death. He brings separation. He harms people. He does a lot of damage. And he likes doing damage because he can't hurt God, but he feels if he hurts the things and the people God loves or the things God made, then that way, indirectly, he can try to hurt God. And of course, he's in a war with God. And so God said, don't eat from this tree. You will die if you do. Do you guys know what DNA is? For the younger ones, DNA is a string of molecules. It's not on a string, it's like a long row of molecules. They're all connected. And molecules are simply tiny little chemicals. Those molecules, there's only four of them, and they repeat in patterns. And it's almost like a language. English has 26 letters, DNA has four letters. And the order in which those letters, those molecules come, we call them letters because they're symbolized by letters. The order in which they come determines what they say. Just like a word. Like you have 26 letters but 500,000 words. And it's all in the order of the letters. And so DNA has these molecules, and they convey information. The information that they convey is how to make you, how to make a person. If they're human DNA, if it's dog DNA, then it's how to make a dog. Or if it's tree DNA, it's how to make a tree. So all of the information is in all of your cells. When Adam fell, something happened to the edges of the DNA. It's 3 billion letters long. And on the edges of the string, there's another molecule called a telomere. That telomere, every time cells reproduce, it shortens a little bit. And cells reproduce all the time. that telomere, the end of the molecule, gets just a little bit shorter. And the shortening of that molecule is what causes death. That's why cells die. That's why people ultimately die, or dogs or anybody else. That's why they ultimately die. It's because the shortening of the edges every time the cells reproduce. And so you have cell death. And ultimately, because we're made of cells, you have human death. So Adam's death started when his telomeres, the edges of the DNA molecules, started to shorten. And it took a long time. It took 930 years in his case. But ultimately, he did die. And everybody else dies too. Now, that was not intended by God, but that was the consequence. So everybody starts out in death, in the process of death. When you become born again, in other words, when you accept Christ as your Savior, there's several things that actually happen inside of you. And they happen to you, although you can't feel them. That doesn't matter that you can't feel them. Never go by what you can feel. The truth in the Bible is often things we cannot feel, but we find out very clearly that they are real. One of the things that happens is the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. He starts to live in you. By the way, He will live inside of you forever. You are now the house of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. And so, you are the house of the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of you. He will never leave you. He will never abandon you. He cannot abandon you. And He will continue to live inside of you even after you get to heaven. Forever, the Holy Spirit will live inside of you, which is really pretty awesome. That also means that the Holy Spirit gave birth to a part of you called the human spirit. Now, sometimes people, when they get saved, they can feel the birth of the human spirit. And it's not like something strange happens. Some people describe it as having been awake and feeling like you woke up. Even though you were awake, you felt like you woke up. Now, not everybody has that feeling. It's not weird if you don't. There's nothing wrong if you don't. Just some people do. The third thing that happened, and this is the most important to our discussion, is that you became part of Christ. That's why the Holy Spirit is inside of you, because it's His Spirit. You became His body. Ephesians 2:15 calls it one new man. You became one new man with Christ. That's the new creature that it's talking about. You're a new creature. What does that mean? You are actually two people put together. You are you and Christ at the same time. He took you, made you a part of Himself. That happened when He was on the cross, but happened when you believed. Now remember, time is like a table and all of the events of time exist all the time. It's not like it was 2,000 years ago. In human experience, as we move along the timetable, it seems like 2,000 years ago to us. But from God's perspective, and really that's the real perspective, and that's also the perspective we'll have when we get to heaven, time is like a table. And all of it is there simultaneously, all at once, all at the same time. It's all there. So the first day is there, the last day is there, the cross is there, Abraham is there, people in the future are there. Everything is there all at once because it's like a table. We're like a little ant walking across the table, so we can't see the whole thing. We can only see the things we encounter as we encounter them. But to somebody who's sitting at a very large table, of course they can see everything that's on the table, and that's like God. He can see everything on the table. We can't because we're like that little ant walking across the table. Now, you became one person with Christ at the cross when you got saved. Peter tells us that he took our sins on his own body. Our sins don't necessarily mean that we do something wicked. It can mean that, but that's not the only form of sin. Whatever is not of faith is sin. And so even the things that we think of as small, big, whatever, it doesn't make any difference how big it is, or how severe it is, or how dramatic it is. It's all part of our body. We are His body. Now the sin is on Him. Now the importance of that is that it's the blood of Christ that cleanses us, that washes us from sin. But the blood of Christ didn't touch me. It touched Christ. So when I became the body of Christ, then I was cleansed by the blood that Christ was shedding on the cross. Again, it's not something you can see, it's not something you can feel, but God can see this. Because God sees how time works. God sees how the events work together. We don't have a big enough perspective to see it, but God sees the whole thing. We'll see it too eventually, but God sees the whole thing. Let me give you an example of what I mean. A lot of people who have, let's say, bad car accidents or something like that, and they'll get killed in the car accident, and then paramedics or somebody manage to save them. A lot of people who have that experience say they see their life flash before their eyes. All the details of their life, they can see them. And they're right before their eyes. Do you know why that's happening? Because they're leaving the table. And so their perspective gets bigger. It's like going on top of a high-rise building. All you could see before was just a little bit of the street, and now you can see the whole city. Okay, that's what happens to the soul. All of a sudden, their perspective gets much bigger. They're leaving the table, they're leaving time, passing into eternity, and all of a sudden, their section of time, it's right in front of them because they get a better perspective from which to see all of it. So, what's the significance of the new creature? What does that mean? That means that you are one person with God. You're still a human being, but you're God's body. He's living inside of you. You're not just some ordinary unsafe person. Unsafe people are not a part of God's body. The Holy Spirit is not in them, and because they did not get saved, they never became part of the body of Christ. It happens because you're saved. And the result is, you're one person with Him. His Spirit lives inside of you. It will never leave you. And you will forever be one person with God. That's why you're going to go to heaven. That's why the rapture takes place, because you're one person with God. And the rapture is God's anger being poured out because the world has rejected Christ for thousands of years. They rejected Him, and now God has finally had it. He says, okay, enough is enough. And His anger gets poured out, but it doesn't get poured out on Himself. It gets poured out on those who don't receive Christ. So you'll never face God's anger because you're a Christian. That's really going to become... It already is very important. It's going to become more important. That's why you can always pray and know you'll get an answer from God. Because you're one person with God. That's why you can always have confidence, because you're one person with God. That's why there's nothing that can touch you, because you're one person with God. That's why there's nothing that can happen to you that God doesn't allow? You're one person with God. You are the one you man. You are the body of Christ. And so if you're the body of Christ, whatever touches you is touching Christ, and there's nothing that can touch Christ that he doesn't allow. So you can always be confident. You can always be relaxed. You can always have peace. You can always know with full expectation and confidence that God's going to take care of you because you are his body. He lives inside of you. You're his body. Never forget that. Never forget that. That's very important. Because you're his body, you're always going to be accepted by him. Even at your worst point, God will accept you. Even if nobody else accepts you, God will accept you. I read a news story last night. It was from Canada. A pastor who had been imprisoned as part of persecution. Canada persecutes Christians. It's really hard to believe, but Canada does persecute Christians. This pastor was thrown in jail. He didn't do anything illegal. Even the guards told him this is political. And in the prison, a lot of people got saved because he was there. And he was talking about a prisoner who came to him and he said, "Can God forgive murder?" And he said, "Yes. God can forgive everything. God can forgive murder." And the man just broke down in tears because he thought that God would reject him because he was a criminal. He killed somebody. And so he thought that God would reject him. God doesn't reject anyone who comes to him. And because he's inside of you, he will most definitely never reject you. Because you've already come to him. And he's not going to change his mind about that. As a matter of fact, the Bible says he can't change his mind about that. And that's his own doing. And so, in your worst condition, God forbid that anything like that happens to you, that happened to that man. But it does happen to some people. And it happens even to some Christians now and again. If that ever happens to you where you get into a really bad position, God will not leave you. He will not reject you. He will not leave you. And you can be confident in that. You guys understand that? It's really important that you understand that.